book of Acts, chapter number 4. You remember the healing of that man who was important in his feet, never walked from birth, book of Acts, chapter 3, who they brought daily to the gate of the temple. And after they had been rebuked and reprimanded, 22nd verse of the 4th chapter of the book of Acts tells us about the man that was ministered to. It tells us that the man was above 40 years old whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company. I like that. The apostles, Peter and John, went to their own company, their own brethren, and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up. Now look at what the brethren did. When the apostles came, Peter and John came back to them to tell them what they had been through in the hands of the priests and the elders. The Bible says, when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. See, what are they doing? They're ministering to the Lord. Hallelujah. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. I like that. Look at verse 31. This is amazing. And when they had prayed. Somebody say, when they had prayed. Hallelujah. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And what? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. Now notice something very beautiful. He says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now all these people had already received the Holy Ghost. They were not just receiving the Holy Spirit. We're talking about infilling of the Holy Spirit. Infilling of the Holy Spirit. When you're filled again and again. Like it tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. How he wants us to be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. So when they prayed to God like this and they said, oh God, stretch forth your hand to heal. Instead of God saying, all right now, you got my hand down there. No, he filled them with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. They were filled. Like when you pray and you're filled again. You know when you're filled? How do you know when you're filled? There's an outflow, an overflow. He says, being filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself, sing psalms and hymns. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. I refuse to want. Glory to God. Yeah. Speaking to yourselves. That means I'm talking to me, you're talking to you. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. See. All that's happening. Bubbling out of you. Glory to God. And so many things happen to us when we're filled with the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we are so full, we're drunk. And then we start staggering. We don't know us, you know. To God. Just like that. And sometimes it comes out in laughter. You know, you don't care who's listening to you. You're laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. See. Now, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And the result was, they spake the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. That's it. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, the result will be speaking the word with boldness. with boldness. Say, I'm bold.
I'm bold.
I got the Holy Ghost in me. And you know, if at any time you feel like you're not up to it, okay? Because sometimes you might just think like, hey, you know, and your heart may skip a little bit. And you're thinking, how do I do this? Hey, relax. Just get drunk. You know, you get drunk. Not in a bottle. Not wine out of a bottle. No, he says, be not drunk with wine or in his excess. He says, you don't need that. You don't need that. He says, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. So get into your room. Shut the door. Speak in tongues. 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 It might get loud. Don't worry. Speak in tongues. Until you start staggering and laughing. Speak in tongues. Don't stop. Until you are so full and you know that you know that you know that you are full. Unbelief will fly out the window. Doubt will be gone. And when you're now full, you get dressed. You're ready to go. You're ready to go. You just walk out like a gentleman. But I tell you, when you begin speaking, hallelujah. Tonight, we're looking at these principles for the harvest. What are we to do? What are we to do? Can a farmer choose when he wants a crop? I'm amazed. It looks like we're going to have different answers. I thought there should be just one answer. But it looks like some people are saying yes and some are saying no. And some are not quite sure what the answer should be. I want to ask the question again. Can a farmer decide when he's going to have a crop?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if you say yes, do like this. Okay, thank you. If you say no, do like this. Can a farmer decide when he's going to have a crop? Okay, I can hear a little no somewhere in there. Okay, who thinks no? Anybody thinks no? Okay, gentlemen, why do you think no? Okay, he says because there's time and season. There's time to plant. And there's time to... I love you, brother. But here is a problem. We need to understand that when God said, seed time and harvest shall not cease. Didn't you hear it? He said it shall not cease. Seed time and harvest shall not cease. Don't you get it? Seed time does not cease. Harvest does not cease. Don't you get it? Somebody said, but there are times for sowing and there are times. Yeah. We understand now how it works. And we know how to manipulate the ground. And cause the ground to produce fruit. Anytime. That day has passed. When they said we couldn't grow it because, we couldn't grow it because what? We can change it. Seguro ningos caparadigde. Ha, 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 ha. anybody who is into agriculture here? Big time agriculture here? Are you sure, brother? Okay, you heard what he said, that because of seed time. Do you agree with him? Oh, you don't agree with him. Times have changed, right? We can do seed time back to back. Thank you, brother. Now. So, just a moment. Some good lawyer would have been observing me, and they would have been saying, but Pastor Chris really didn't let him say something. He put it to him. You know, I put the words in his mouth. Well, but the guy's smart enough. He knows what he's talking about. Am I right? Yeah. I did it again. But it's true anyhow. Praise the Lord. It's true. Glory to God. Even the scripture says, seed time shall not cease. Then where's the interregnum? You didn't get that. There's no space. There's no waiting. See, time shall not cease. If the time shall not cease, that means it's time and time and time again. As this time stops, it starts. It stops and starts. Have you ever had a year, and at the end of the year, there was a space before another year started? Doesn't happen that way. 1 year stops and enters another year. Brother, see, time just keeps rolling. Shout amen, somebody. That's what God said all the time. Just a lot of folks didn't understand it. And so they left it for nature. You know, some people think, why should you try to spoil things? You say, what do you mean spoil things? If God wants tomatoes to grow, they will grow. If God wants the rain to fall, they will fall. Go to China where they are making rain to fall by themselves. They don't wait for God no more. They make the rain fall. They create the rain now. Hallelujah. Because man is finding out what God said all the time. It's been there. They just didn't know it. They were waiting. If you don't cultivate that ground, what you're going to have will be weeds, thorns, thistles. That's all. You're not going to have a crop. If you want to have a crop, you've got to have dominion, exercise dominion over the ground. And the Bible says that God gave man dominion over the whole earth. So exercise dominion. Get rid of the weeds. Till the ground. And demand what you want by sowing the right seed. And if that ground is not good enough, like we studied, some ground can be harsh. What do? You change it? You reculture it? All that is possible now. You can grow anything what you want to. It doesn't matter. If you don't like, if they say, oh, you know, for climatic reasons, then we'll create another atmosphere. That's what you do. That's what you do. Hallelujah. Now, I said all that to say this. If man can understand this so naturally, because now he understands the principles. Don't you understand that that's the same thing in the realm of the spirit? All truth is parallel. That's what Maricelda said. I believe it. All truth is parallel. Because the Bible says so. It says we can understand spiritual things by looking at the natural. Why is it so? Because the Bible tells us God made this earth as a shadow of heaven. And so the earth is full of the goodness of God. Isn't that amazing? But what you hear today, a lot of people only experience all the evil in this world. Yet the Bible says that this earth is full of the goodness of God. They're not concerned about the goodness. You want to find the goodness of God, you find it. You want to be concerned about that and see that in your life, you see it. But too many find only the evil. And then he tells us, if you will only let me help you. Isn't that what he said? That I'll make you rich. Praise God.
Prayer is important in the life of every believer. The power of God is activated when we pray individually or corporately. One thing is certain, we bring definite changes into circumstances and situations when we pray. Avail yourself of a wealth of materials on prayer by Pastor Chris on the Pastor Chris Digital Library app. Discover a rich and fulfilling life as you learn more on how to cultivate a spirit of prayer.
There is a spirit of prayer that rests on you when you invite by desire that spirit of prayer. In you begin that fellowship of prayer. It won't be long before you discover the spirit of prayer.
The importance of prayer. Prevailing prayer.
Our prayer makes it consistent for God to do whatever he would want to do, which it was inconsistent for him to do had we not prayed.
The Holy Spirit and prayer.
If you pray in tongues, the Spirit of God will bring the mysteries, the things you need. He will bring them to your spirit. Listen, why it's so important that you pray in tongues? Human prayer with human language cannot go far enough. If you pray in tongues long enough, nothing can stop your success. Nothing can stop your growth. Nothing.
The Lord's Prayer.
That thing they call our Lord's Prayer when they go, Our Father, which art in heaven, that's the outline of prayer Jesus was teaching them. They said, teach us to pray. So you want to know what the Lord's Prayer really is? You go to what he prayed in St. John's Gospel. There he actually prayed. He really prayed. And disciples heard him. And they wrote down the content of his prayer.
Prayer of intercession. And get the right perspective in prayer. These inspiring and uplifting messages are available on the Pastor Chris Digital Library app. Downloadable on the Google Play Store. And on the Apple App Store. Pastor Chris Digital Library. Bringing you the word. Easier and faster. God bless you.
The first and important, most important part of this harvest, we want to create the harvest. Meaning you want to take charge and produce a crop anytime. First thing is prayer. That's what you need. That's the number one thing you need. Now, prayer does not change God. It is very important that you put that down. It doesn't change God because you see, you have to consider the benevolence of God and his providence. Okay? Already manifested in his word and manifested around us to let us know God is predisposed to doing good. Always wants to do good. Always. And God is caring. God is kind. And when we want a spiritual harvest like this, we want to change lives, we want to bring good to bear upon a situation, we have to understand from the standpoint of God's benevolence. We have to understand it from God, who is good and ready to help and bless, because in the first place, He was the one who wanted everything to go well with us. It was God who loved the world and sent His Son to die to save us. It wasn't us who called on God and said, "We need your salvation. Can you send somebody?" See, it wasn't us who called for salvation. It was God who wanted to save us. So when we start praying for God to save the lost, for God to save that sinner, for God, we're not changing anything. God always wanted that man saved. It's not us who are trying to get God to save the man. He already did everything He needed to do before we came on the scene. See that? So we can't say we're trying to get God to save somebody. But our prayer, see, our prayer doesn't change God. But our prayer makes it consistent for God to do whatever He would want to do, which it was inconsistent for Him to do had we not prayed. Somebody said, rewind. Okay, so I'm going to rewind. When we pray, it does not change God, because God's already good, and God's already willing, and God's already made provision. Okay? So when we pray, it doesn't change Him, but it makes it consistent for Him to do for us, through us, or on our behalf, whatever He would have done, but it was inconsistent for Him to have done it had we not prayed. Let's put it this way. Here's a guy that's robbing and stealing and killing. And it is inconsistent for God's nature of goodness and justice to pick this man, even though Jesus has died for him already, even though all the good that God will do for him has been done in the legal stratosphere. He's already done it. Now, God, it is inconsistent with His nature to go ahead and pick this man, as terrible as he is now, and lead him into the way of blessing, because he's done so much evil, even though it was paid for, but he hasn't changed. Because I'm praying for him, God is not going to bring forth new salvation. But it is not consistent for a God who is that holy and kind and just to reach out to this wicked man. Because I'm praying, it becomes consistent because of my prayer for God to reach this man and say, "He's praying for you." And extend specific grace toward this man because I prayed. Can you see it now? That's how we change people's lives. And guess what? The beautiful thing about this is that we can actually do it for any sinner. As long as we're specific, we can do it for anybody if we will do what we should do, which is called prevailing prayer. You know what prevailing prayer is? I'm going to read it to you in a moment. It's not the prayer you pray and walk away. No, it's not the prayer you pray and just walk away. This is that kind of prayer that weighs heavily on your heart until it's as though your heart is bleeding. It just can't leave you. Every now and then your mind goes back to that fellow that you're praying for. You are wrestling for his soul. You are wrestling, literally wrestling for his soul. Oh, there were times that maybe I was praying for an individual, or praying even for a group. And it was as though I had a very serious exam coming. You understand? No matter what I was doing, once it came to my mind, I was disturbed. I had to go and pray again. And I would pray. Until that thing happens, it will weigh on my mind heavily. Heavily. As though there's a disturbance. And then maybe I'm doing anything else, you know, just normal. Then every once in a while, it's back in there. Because it's not done yet. It's not done yet. And then I'm praying. I'm pouring out my heart before God, and I'm praying with tears, and I'm weeping and crying to God. It's got to be done. You see, because I'm praying for somebody. It's called intercession. Okay? You're interceding. You're filling the gap, standing in the gap for that one. Okay? And you're praying and praying and praying. And your heart is not free yet. And until it is free, I just can't go. Sometimes it has taken days, sometimes weeks, sometimes months. You just know it's there. You can't stop. You can't stop until there's a testimony. Hallelujah. And oh, every time I've had that happen, and the testimonies, I just fall on my face before God, and I'm crying again, this time with joy. And I just, oh, how great thou art, O Lord. How great thou art. And at that moment, I'm like Moses after he crossed the Red Sea. And I'm thinking, oh, dear Lord, how great thou art. I knew you'd do it. Oh, you know, but we've come a long way. And God expects us to do this again and again. We can change lives. Remember, for one sinner that repents, there's joy in heaven. For one sinner that repents. He says there's joy among the angels. One. One. Just one. The value of a soul is the value of the life of Jesus. You see that? He didn't come to die for us because we were many. No, but because we were valuable. And each one of us, just one person, is as valuable to God as Jesus. So when you take up a matter concerning one person and you're praying, you are not wasting time. Are you hearing me? You're not wasting time. A lot of times we have to pray. There are sometimes the people who are carnal among us. There's a carnal brother. Instead of us getting angry, because sometimes we get angry. For me, for example, the people who can, you know, act foolish, and I can get angry. You know, I can get angry. But you, see, when I walk away, even though I was angry, I get in my prayer. And I'm praying, dear Lord Jesus, you got to do something for this man, for this woman. There's got to be a change, you know. I've got to struggle, fight for that soul. I've got to fight. Fight, because I know Satan is deceiving that fellow. I've got to fight. I can't let Satan win. I can't let the devil have him. I can't let the devil go with him. And in the name of Jesus. But those are those few words that come. But they're not enough. I have to go higher. Now I start speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues, because I know that I don't know how to pray exactly for this person. I've only said the things that I know, but I need to go higher. So as I speaking in tongues, as I speak in tongues, the Holy Spirit starts helping me pick exactly what is necessary. And then I go higher until I can't speak in tongues anymore. Now that I can't speak in tongues anymore, all I'm doing is sobbing and crying. The Holy Ghost now has taken over the intercession. And I know he has taken over. And once he has taken over, all I do is just cry and cry and cry and cry and cry. Oh, I keep cleaning my eyes from tears and cleaning my eyes from tears, but I'm crying, crying, crying. Even sometimes I stop and maybe I'm reading, studying the Bible, and the next time I go, oh, I'm crying again. All right? Because the Holy Spirit is still working within me. See, the Holy Spirit needs me to pray through me. He does not pray by himself. See, when he wants to pray about things that concern me, he needs me. He needs my mouth. He needs my body. And I've got to be yielded to him. You know, that's why a lot of things happen to Christians and they wonder why. You're not yielded to the Holy Spirit to use you, pray through you. He doesn't pray for you on his own. He needs somebody. He needs the human body, the human mouth to speak through. Because that prayer must be offered in the earth by a human being for God to answer it. He will not answer the prayer of spirits without bodies. Your body is your right to the earth. A spirit that has no body has no right to be in the earth. Therefore, his prayer is not heard. That's very important. Never forget it. Never forget it. Once out of your body, the prayer is not heard. Prayer here is in the earth through a human body. Glory to God.
If you have been blessed by this message, we would love to hear your testimony. Kindly send an email to testimony@pastorchrisdigitallibrary.org. Other related messages are
The Benefit of Prayer, Cultivating the Spirit of Prayer, Benedictions, The Holy Spirit and Prayer Part 1, The Holy Spirit and Prayer Part 2. Simply download these messages on the Pastor Chris Digital Library. Pastor Chris Digital Library, bringing you the Word easier and faster.
The proof of life is growth, and to grow, you must feed. The Pastor Chris Digital Library app gives you all you need to grow well and strong, like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. The Pastor Chris Digital Library app is rightly designed to inspire, encourage, motivate, and keep your head held high with timeless messages from Pastor Chris Ayakilome, with inspiring genres such as church growth, evangelism, soul winning, music, prayer, prosperity and finance, healing and health, Christian living. The Pastor Chris Digital Library app has a smooth and sleek user interface with features designed to keep you connected anytime, anywhere, and give you an amazing user experience. This phenomenal app is all you need to have an amazing life and build your spirit strong with the right materials. Download the Pastor Chris Digital Library app today and have access to all of Pastor's teachings, both old and newly released messages. For further inquiries, send an email to support@pastorchrisdigitallibrary.org. Pastor Chris Digital Library, bringing you the Word easier and faster.
When Jesus was preparing for his death, which he knew was coming up shortly, he had several discussions with his disciples. There was this remarkable moment recorded for us where Jesus went to pray. In St. John's Gospel, chapter number 17, we have a record of the Lord's Prayer. You know, a lot of times they tell us that the Lord's Prayer I'm sure you've heard it many times. Somebody says, let's say the Lord's Prayer. And they all go, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That was not the Lord's Prayer. He wasn't praying. His disciples had asked him. They said, Master, teach us to pray as John the Baptist, taught his disciples to pray. And so Jesus said, after this manner, therefore pray ye. He was teaching them on prayer. So he gave them an outline. So that thing they call our Lord's Prayer when they go, Our Father, which art in heaven, that's the outline of prayer Jesus was teaching them. They said, teach us to pray. So you want to know what the Lord's Prayer really is? You go to what he prayed in St. John's Gospel. There he actually prayed. He really prayed. And disciples heard him and they wrote down the content of his prayer. Now, he didn't tell us to pray the prayer. The Bible tells us he prayed. Didn't say, pray this prayer. You understand? Okay, so we go to St. John's Gospel, chapter 17. We'll begin reading from verse number 1. These words, I'm reading at the moment from the King James translation. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. I told you, he's getting ready for his death. He says, Father, the hour is come. And wonderful, he called him Father. Didn't just say, Oh God. He said, Father. He prayed so differently. The Jews didn't pray like that. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes didn't pray like that. And Jesus prayed differently. He called him Father. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. That's remarkable. What a declaration. He tells us here that the Father gave him power over all flesh. That means God gave Jesus power over everybody. Over all flesh. That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. So eternal life is to know the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. If you don't know him, you don't have life. Verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, I want you to listen to his communication. No wonder they said, no man ever spake like this man. The soldiers were sent to arrest him. They heard him speaking. They listened. They went back without him. And the leaders said, where is he? We asked you to get him. They said, we never heard anybody talk like this man. Wow. Verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. That's remarkable. I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. He's talking about his disciples now. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. Oh, wonderful. I pray for them, Jesus said. I pray for them. You see, he had them on his heart. He said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. He says, I'm not praying for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Did you know why he didn't pray for the world? Why? He said, I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for the ones that you've given me. Because it was going to be useless to pray for the world. He knew what the Father wanted. You see, we should never pray for something which we already know what the Father's heart about it is. Do what God said. For example, you know God wants you to go to church. It's his will to go to church, to meet with fellow believers. He says that we should not neglect the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Hebrews 10:25. Okay, so he says, Oh God, I pray that I might get to church, that I might go to church. Move me so I can get to church. That would be wrong, right? Oh Lord, make me win souls. Make me win souls. He told you to win souls. He told you to reach out. So if you start praying, oh God, make me do it, it's unfair. Right? So Jesus knew the will of the Father about the word. They need salvation, a sacrifice. Somebody's got to die in their place, or they are doomed. And Jesus has agreed to die for them. So he knows the Father's will. So he says, I'm not praying for the world. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to die for everybody. They don't believe, so I'm going to die for them. But the one who believes has a promise. So I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world. I'm going to die for the world. You see the difference? Because in the next chapter, he prays in Gethsemane. Shortly after that, he gets arrested. And he's on the way to the cross. And then he dies for the whole world. There was no need to pray for the world. He knew what to do. Hallelujah. For example, if you pray, oh God, save everybody in the world. He's already saved them. He's asking you to go and preach to them. Go win them. Don't pray that he might save them. He has saved them in Jesus Christ. So you now go and win them. How many of you understand this? Very simple, right? So Jesus is very accurate here. Verse 9 again. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine. Oh dear. Wow. And thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. He prays to the Father and says, everything that belongs to you belongs to me, and everything that's mine is yours. Glory to God. Verse 11. And now I am no more in the world. See, I told you, he's about to leave. But these are in the world. Still talking about his disciples. And I come to thee. See, I'm no longer in the world. I'm coming now. See, So he says, I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Hallelujah. Dear love Jesus, blessed words, blessed words, blessed words. Glory to God.
In the place of prayer, you would definitely want to know what to say to get results. We have a record of the Lord's Prayer, written for our learning, not a memory verse, but an outline of prayer.
That thing they call our Lord's Prayer when they go, Our Father, which art in heaven, that's the outline of prayer Jesus was teaching them. So you want to know what the Lord's Prayer really is, you go to what he prayed in St. John's Gospel.
In a place of prayer, you would definitely want to know this. The Lord's Prayer, a classic guide on the New Testament pattern for prayer by Pastor Chris.
Available for download on mobile devices through Pastor Chris Digital Library app.
In a world of desperation, let in the myriads of unanswered questions, breeding utter confusion in the hearts of men. So what hope is there for the people? God's Word provides answers to all questions in life. The Pastor Chris Digital Library contains rich messages in diverse genres, providing needed answers to all questions. Download the app today and be exposed to a limited wealth of knowledge. Pastor Chris Digital Library, bringing you the Word easier and faster.
Pastor Chris, worth hearing.
St. John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. He's talking about Judas Iscariot. Because before Jesus starts praying here, Judas has gone out. He's gone to meet the Jewish leaders to sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. So Judas is not here now. He's gone out. So Jesus knows Judas is lost. Verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. He's saying, I'm praying like this so they can hear me, so their joy will be full. I want them to hear me. I'm praying like this so they can hear what I'm praying about, so they can have faith about it. Because faith, you see, comes by hearing. I want them to hear what I'm saying. Wonderful. You know, Jesus prayed many times. And a lot of times, he prayed alone. They didn't get to hear what he said. But this one time, he wanted them to hear. And wonderful, we're talking about it today, and it still ministers faith to us. Hallelujah. So, in verse 14, I have given them thy word. As a pastor, can you say that? Does that happen in your church? Can you do that and say, I've given them your word? He didn't say, I've given them my word. Your word. You see, it's the Father's word. It's the Father's message. Not yours. Not your ideas. Not your thoughts. It's the Father's words. Okay? It says, I have given them thy word. And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. He's talking about the evil one, the devil, Satan. Look at verse 16. Marvelous. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Isn't that a blessing? Say, I'm not of the world. Verse 17, he's still praying. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Boy, truth is reality. Thy word is truth. Reality. Never forget this. In verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Wow. Wow. That's authority. That means I'm authorized. I'm commissioned. Jesus said so. Look at it. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. You see, there are some things you just shouldn't do because of those to whom you minister. Jesus says, for their sake, I sanctify myself. For their sake, I separate myself from stupidity. For their sake, I separate myself from worldliness. For their sake, I sanctify myself. For their sake. Did you see it? Is it there? For their sake. What are you doing for the brethren's sake? For their sake. You want to be like Jesus? That should be your goal. To think like him, to act like him. In your spirit, you have one nature with him. You're already like him in your spirit. So it's easy to copy him. If you didn't have his nature, you couldn't copy him. But now that you have his nature, you're born with the nature, same nature with him, you can copy him. And to copy him, you find him in the book, the Bible. Hear him. Hear how he spoke to sinners. How he spoke to those who believed. How he spoke to the wicked. Hear how he addressed others. How he dealt with children. How he dealt with the elderly. How did Jesus respond? Even to his accusers, how did he respond? What was Jesus like? How did he address the Father? And that's what we're looking at. Hallelujah. Jesus. Oh boy. I'm inspired by his love. I'm inspired by his thinking process. I'm inspired by Jesus. Wow. Wow. Verse 20. Neither, boy, I love this one. You like it?
Yes.
Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That includes me.
Yes.
Jesus prayed for me. Hallelujah. Jesus prayed for me. He knew I was coming. So he prayed ahead for me. Hallelujah. Verse 21. Here is what he's praying about. That they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may know or believe that thou hast sent me. They will believe if they see that we are united. We have the same mind. We think the same way. That's wonderful. Now you can see why Satan doesn't like unity among Christians. Because it causes his children to follow Jesus Christ. When Christians are united, Satan's kids open their eyes and they want to join. So he loses. He knows what it costs. So he doesn't like unity. Always be united. Have the same mind. And it's easy to have the same mind if you follow Jesus Christ with all of your heart. You will have the same mind with those who follow him with all their heart, without selfishness. See, hallelujah. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Oh, verse 22. Oh. Not many people know that that is in the Bible. Did you ever hear somebody say, don't take God's glory? And they even used to prophesy. They said, thus said the Lord, my glory will I not share with another. He's not talking about his kids. He's saying he will not share his glory with them dumb idols. You understand? Look at that. Verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Then somebody says, don't take God's glory. What are you thinking about? He gave me the glory. Didn't you see it? You know, many people a lot of times think that they're being humble, whereas they're being ignorant. Jesus doesn't mind that you are sharing his glory. He gave it to you. Okay, I might have to show you something more, so that just in case someone is in this place who is not very convinced, I'll show you. You say, Pastor Chris, you give me more convincing verses. I will give them to you. Hallelujah.
Prayer is important in the life of every believer. The power of God is activated when we pray individually or corporately. One thing is certain, we bring definite changes into circumstances and situations when we pray. Avail yourself of a wealth of materials on prayer by Pastor Chris on the Pastor Chris Digital Library app. Discover a rich and fulfilling life as you learn more on the Holy Spirit and prayer.
If you pray in tongues, the Spirit of God will bring the mysteries, the things you need. He will bring them to your spirit. Listen, why it's so important that you pray in tongues? Human prayer with human language cannot go far enough. If you pray in tongues long enough, nothing can stop your success. Nothing can stop your growth. Nothing.
These inspiring and uplifting messages are available on the Pastor Chris Digital Library app, downloadable on the Google Play Store and on the Apple App Store. Pastor Chris Digital Library, bringing you the word easier and faster. God bless you.
Pastor Chris, worth hearing.
Hallelujah. Amen. And the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Look at this. Look at it. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me. And woo! Did you see that one? And as what? Loved them as thou hast loved me. Which means the Father loves me as much as he loves Jesus. He doesn't love Jesus more than he loves me. And you know what? Jesus wants the world to know. He wants everybody to know that the Father loves me as much as he loves him. He wants everybody to know. And he prays to the Father. He says, I want the world to know that you have loved them as much as you love me. No wonder the Bible says he's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hallelujah. Boy. Refreshing. Refreshing words. Look at verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, I hear this man's prayer. Can you hear him? What was Jesus like? Oh, righteous Father, the world had not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And he concluded his prayer. Think like this. I want you to think like this. Imagine if God answered his prayer. What would your life be? Let's take it slowly. Let's take it slowly. Think like this. With all of what we just read, what we just heard in his prayer, imagine if God actually heard Jesus. If God actually heard that prayer, and remember, he did say he wasn't praying only for those who were there that day. He was praying for those who would hear the message and believe it. Amen. That means we're included in this. If God actually heard that prayer and answered that prayer, what manner of persons should we be? If that prayer were answered, you would change your country. If God heard that prayer, what would you be like? Number one, he did say that I in them, you in me, that we may be made what? Perfect in one. I in them. So the Father heard the prayer. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. To be in Christ, first, Christ will come into you. You receive his word. You receive his life into you. If you receive his word, He is the living word. As many as received the word, him, he gave power, the authority, the right to become the sons of God. As many as received him. Talking about the word. St. John's Gospel, chapter 1, right? You remember. As many as received him, he gave the right to become sons of God. He said, the glory that you gave me, I've given them. Now that you're born again, how does God see you? Let's take a look at it. You ready? Okay. Romans chapter 8. We'll read from, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, you know, he's talking about the foreknowledge of God. See, he's God. He knows everything. He's omniscient. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Firstborn among many brethren. He calls us brethren. We are his brethren. Moreover, verse 30, whom he did predestinate, them, he's talking about us now, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Stop. Go to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Read for me. 1, 2, go. So he's talking about us. Being therefore what? Justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be justified? To be declared righteous. Declared not guilty. Acquitted. All the accusations failed. You know why? Somebody said because Jesus took the punishment. No! That will mean the accusation stayed. Justified. I don't know if you're getting. Let me explain. Let me explain this. It's so important about the gospel. We were not justified, declared justified, because Jesus took our sins. Romans chapter 4, let's start from verse 24. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our what? We were not justified because he died. We were justified because he was raised. Shout amen, somebody. Okay, can I tell you the implication of that? Can I tell you what that means? Because when he was raised from the dead, he was raised as a new man. He was the head of the new creation. He came up with a new life. And so, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. In the resurrected Christ. Which means he has no past. That's why he's justified. There's no past. There's no sin. So his resurrection justified me. I'm a new creation. I'm not the man that sins. I'm a new being. The man that sinned is dead. I died in Christ. That's gone. That's the old man. The old man didn't resurrect. No, a new man was born. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, and all things have become new. Shout amen, somebody.
If you have been blessed by this message, we would love to hear your testimony. Kindly send an email to testimony@pastorchrisdigitallibrary.org.
Other related messages are
Benedictions, The Holy Spirit and Prayer Part 1, The Holy Spirit and Prayer Part 2. Simply download these messages on the Pastor Chris Digital Library. Pastor Chris Digital Library, bringing you the Word easier and faster.
You still there? Okay, so let's read that scripture. He says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesied edifieth the church. When we prophesy, we are speaking forth God's message in a known language for the church to benefit. But then when we speak in tongues, we may not understand what we are saying. Go to verse 2, the same book, the same chapter, verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the spirit he speaketh what? Mysteries. Mysteries. When you speak in tongues, you bring forth mysteries. Mysteries about your future. Mysteries about the work that God has given you. You speak mysteries. And until those mysteries are brought into this world, they may never happen. Are you following this? Okay, just for the records. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's read from verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. That means in esoteric language. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Next verse. You love this. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Okay, next verse. Next verse. You see it now. It says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Next verse. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. You see it? The things that God has prepared for you are revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. How? He says, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Can you see that? For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Okay, read the next one. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. My goodness. Next verse. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Oh God. Comparing things spiritual with spiritual. Did you see that? I wish I had time to major on that. Glory to God. Mysteries. Mysteries. As you speak in tongues, you speak mysteries. You speak mysteries. And that's why he told us that the one who speaks in tongues should pray that he might interpret. Because there are mysteries being spoken. And if they're not brought into the understanding, you may never walk in the light of those mysteries of God. Because they are hidden wisdom. You are praying about your church growth. You're praying about the success of the ministry in that city, in that country. Then God, if you pray in tongues, the Spirit of God will bring the mysteries, the things you need. He will bring them to your spirit, but they might be spoken in tongues. But you need to bring them. And then when you speak in tongues, he also gives you that ability to interpret.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
So, if you're a minister of God, you must pray in tongues. There are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. You have to pray a lot in tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Go to verse 18. Let me show you something. Verse 18. This is Paul the apostle. We all agree that he was very successful in ministry. Look at what he said. I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all. That's Paul the apostle. If he had the boldness, the audacity to say to a whole church, I speak in tongues more than you all, it means he spoke in tongues a lot. And he knew it. You can't just stay there and say, amen. It's finished. Is that your own speaking in tongues? It's not enough. It's not enough. And you can just, it's not enough. Speaking in tongues is the language of angels. It's a language. It's a language. And so when you pray in tongues, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, go to verse 13. Let me read something to you from verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Have you seen that? Aha. Next verse. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. You see, that's how to pray in the spirit. You pray in tongues, but your mind doesn't know what you're saying. That's what we read in verse 2 of the same book and the same chapter. He says, no man understands, but in the spirit he speaks mysteries. So he says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. If you don't pray in tongues, there are things that should happen for you that will never happen. Amen. Until you pray in tongues. Listen, why it's so important that you pray in tongues? Human prayer with human language cannot go far enough. Your human language is corrupted. And therefore will not appeal to a holy God. You have to understand that. So it gives us a spiritual language to communicate at the highest level. What you cannot say with human words, you can say in tongues. And the Holy Spirit, the Bible says the Holy Spirit gives you the utterance. Which means you don't choose the words by yourself. The Holy Spirit chooses the best words. To appeal to the mind of God. So when you are praying in tongues, you are praying the highest kind of prayer. You are praying the holiest kind of prayer. So pastors, ministers, evangelists, all ministry. You want to be successful with it? You must pray in the spirit. You must pray in tongues. You must pray in the spirit. No shortcuts. Give time to it. Give special time to praying in tongues. Give special time to praying in tongues. If you pray in tongues long enough, nothing can stop your success. Nothing can stop your growth. Nothing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you still there?
Yes.
This is very important. Praying in tongues. When you pray in tongues, your spiritual eyes will open. You start seeing visions. I never saw visions until I started praying in tongues. When I started praying in tongues, I started seeing visions. What did the Bible tell us? He says, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. He said, the old men shall dream dreams. The young men shall see what? Visions. Without the Holy Ghost, you can't see visions. When he says the old men shall dream dreams, he doesn't mean the gray-headed men in church who dream dreams. That's not what he's talking about. He means those who are fast passing away. They'll be dreaming dreams. But those who are young in faith, they will see visions. Hallelujah. You see visions. 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 How do I know the things I'm supposed to do? Visions. I see visions when I pray. I tell people, I don't know, what happens with you when you pray? For me, when I pray, I see visions. Otherwise, there's no way to do the kind of things we do. How can you do them with human understanding? And when you are in ministries like this, you will collide with spiritual forces. You will. You will collide with forces. But you see, before you ever get to that level, you must have been resolved. You say to yourself, come what may. That's it. You fear nothing. Then you find that you are pushing forward continually, making further inroads for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Speak in tongues for a second. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I've spoken in tongues sometimes for hours. You know, you're just speaking in tongues. Sometimes you're not able to stop. You just keep speaking until your stomach, you know, is hurting you. Speaking in tongues. But when you are done, you will know that you have settled things in the realm of the Spirit. After you have done that, in the realm of the Spirit, things are perfected. Then you have a walkover on earth. You have a walkover. So, it is something that you're going to do for yourself. There are certain things in ministry that other people can do for you, but there are some that nobody can do for you. There's some that no one can do for you. One of them is prayer. No one can do your praying for you. They may pray for you, okay? But they cannot do your praying for you. Do you understand that? Yeah. You can hire anybody to do something, but you cannot hire someone to pray. It's not going to work. You're going to have to pray yourself. And instead of saying so many things in your own understanding and saying so many things to try to convince God, speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. You know, sometimes the Christians, ministers looking for what they call a breakthrough for something. You don't need any breakthrough. Speak in tongues. When you speak in tongues, you will change things in the realm of the Spirit.
In the place of prayer, you would definitely want to know what to say to get results. We have a record of the Lord's Prayer, written for our learning not a memory verse, but an outline of prayer.
That thing they call our Lord's Prayer when they go, "Our Father, which art in heaven," that's the outline of prayer Jesus was teaching them. So you want to know what the Lord's Prayer really is? You go to what he prayed in St. John's Gospel.
In a place of prayer, you would definitely want to know this. The Lord's Prayer, a classic guide on the New Testament pattern for prayer by Pastor Chris.
Available for download on mobile devices through Pastor Chris Digital Library app. Or you can call the following numbers to order now.
Pastor Chris, worth hearing.
Glory to God. Okay, now the second thing. Still on praying in the Spirit. Okay, the second thing is in Romans chapter 8. Let's read from verse 26. Hallelujah to Jesus. Okay, look at it. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." He didn't say we don't know at all. He says, as we ought to know. We don't know what to pray for as we should. There are some things we know to pray for. But we don't know enough. Sometimes we want to pray, we don't know what's behind the case. This is, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself," Old King James translation says itself, it's supposed to read himself. "The Spirit himself maketh intercession for us," oh God, "with groanings which cannot be uttered." This is a different type of prayer. This is not speaking in tongues. Groanings that cannot be uttered. In speaking in tongues, the Bible says we have utterance by the Holy Spirit. In these groanings, it says groanings. You know what it is to groan? There are sounds of that, as though one is in pain. As though one is going through some excruciating pain. The kind of sounds you make. This is a special kind of prayer. Where the Holy Spirit, in fact, where it says the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, it means bears us up in our weakness, in our limitation. He bears us up. Where we are unable to proceed, you get into this kind of prayer and the Holy Spirit supports you. You see, he has to do it through you. He will not do it on his own. So don't sit down and say, "Well, the Holy Spirit is praying for me." No, he wants to pray for you through you. He says, "With groanings that cannot be uttered." Sometimes there are many Christians who find themselves in those groanings, but because they don't understand and they have never been taught, they wonder whether something is wrong. They say, "Pastor, when I pray, I find myself crying and I don't know why." I say, "Continue. Don't stop. Don't stop until your crying turns to laughter." Don't stop. That prayer, when the Spirit seizes on you to pray like that, when you yield yourself to him, you go, They say, "What is wrong?" Nothing is wrong. It's prayer. Something is going on. Something is going on. All that's coming out of you just deep sighs. And sometimes you will feel exactly like what that person that you are praying for is going through. You find yourself going through that pain as if you were the one suffering. If you don't pray like this, things will be happening. Bad things will be happening to members of your church. And you have no solution. You find children dying, young people dying, older ones dying, different kinds of things happening. Terrible things happening to members of the church. Why? Because that pastor doesn't know how to pray in the Spirit. And he hasn't taught the members how to pray in the Spirit. But if they learn how to pray in the Spirit, you find members telling you, "Pastor, last night I was sleeping, I just woke up. And I found myself praying, groaning. I don't know why I was praying. But I kept praying." Then the next thing you hear, a mighty testimony. Someone was going through some terrible thing. And the Holy Spirit woke up a member and caused him to pray in the Spirit. There's a networking. There's a connection. That's why in some churches, there are always wonderful testimonies. Why in some churches, you say, "Does anybody have a testimony?" Everybody be looking around. Everyone's looking around like, you know, certainly he's not talking about me. So you'd wait 5 minutes. No one's hand is up to give a testimony. But in some churches, people are rushing to give testimony. Something has happened. They all have testimonies. Churches where they pray in the Spirit, they have testimonies. Churches where they don't pray like this in the Spirit, hardly do you find any testimony. Everybody's quiet. Pastor says, "Does anyone want to testify of the good things the Lord has done?" Maybe someone will finally get up and say, "Well, I want to thank the Lord. He blessed me." Say, "Well, he blessed you with?" He say, "Well, I woke up this morning. Thank God." That's not a miracle. That you woke up this morning is a miracle. That's normal. Okay, so how do groaning in the Spirit, does it just happen? Do we just say, okay, you know, like somebody said, "Oh, we told the congregation to get up and let's all start groaning in the Spirit." Well, that's not going to work like that. Because it says the Spirit help us. The Spirit. So it is initiated by the Spirit. But do we have any role to play? Emphatically, yes. And I'll show that to you. So that you don't sit down there and say, "Well, you know, I thought that if the Holy Spirit is ready, he will make me groan in the Spirit." No. There are things you must do. Let me show you two scriptures. Start from the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 64. Let's look at verse 7. "And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee." Did you see that? It was at a time in Israel, and people weren't doing what was right. And the great prophet here says, "And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee." Which means there was an expectation that people should stir up themselves to take hold of God. Stir up themselves to take hold of God. Which means you have a responsibility to stir yourself in the things of God. Hear this. After you have come to Christ, you have a responsibility to walk in the Spirit. He tells you, walk in the Spirit. Do things of the Spirit. Live according to the Spirit. It's God's calling upon your life. To stir yourself to take hold of God. You know, it's about your mind. Let's look at it. Your mind is a tool that you can use for good or evil. Your mind. You stir yourself with your mind. You start with your mind. Whatever you want to think about, what you do is you turn your attention to it. You see it? You turn your attention to it. If you think upon God, like he says, oh, let Jerusalem come to your mind. It's your choice. You call to mind. You can make yourself so busy about other things you don't want to think. Like you might decide, all you just want to do now is play games. All I want to do, I just want to talk with someone. Oh, I just want to read a nice novel. I just want to read newspapers. I feel like discussing politics. All that is a work of the mind. Even while you're here, you can choose. I'm going to listen to everything Pastor Chris has to say. And you can say, well, I'm not sure whether I want to hear or not. It's a choice. Your mind is a tool. You are the way you are today, not because God made you so. You are the product of your mind. Remember, the Bible tells us, be ye transformed by what? Changing your way of thinking. But be ye transformed. He said, be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to the way the world is. The way the world is taking you. He says, but be ye transformed. A metamorphosis. That's what he's talking about. He says, but be ye transformed, transfigured by the renewing of your mind. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Yeah, if you're going to find yourself in the perfect will of God, there must be a change in your mind, your way of thinking. There are people who sit in the church. They are members of a church for 25 years. For all those years, they have never paid attention to the pastor. And so they have never grown. They still reason very carnally, but they have been there for many years. They have never given themselves an opportunity for change. The day they allow God, by changing their way of thinking, they'll be amazed how much glory they should have had. Hallelujah. You have to teach in the church. You don't need to have a teaching ministry first. The Bible says the servant of the Lord must be apt to teach. Teach in the house of God. Since you're a pastor, you're the head of a congregation, an overseer, teach them the word of God. Open the Bible and show them. Don't teach human advice. Teach the scriptures. Hallelujah. You're still there? Okay. So, let's look at this now. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm talking about you can stay yourself. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stay up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. You see, imagine this. He says, we laid hands on you. You received the gift. But now you must stir it up. It's not going to work just because we laid hands on you. Somebody said, hands were laid on me. And I believe a gift was ministered to me, but it never worked. It never worked? You're like Timothy then. You see it? It would have never worked for Timothy. So the man of God, Paul, told him what to do. He said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Which means that when he laid hands on Timothy, a gift was transmitted. But that gift would only work when you stir it up. Imagine that I lay hands on you and transmit and impact to you a gift of the Spirit. And then you travel from here. It may not work in the hotel.
It may not work on the plane. It may not work when you arrive at the airport. You will have to stare it out. Glory to God.
Prayer is important in the life of every believer. The power of God is activated when we pray individually or corporately. One thing is certain, we bring definite changes into circumstances and situations when we pray. Avail yourself of a wealth of materials on prayer by Pastor Chris on the Pastor Chris Digital Library app. Discover a rich and fulfilling life as you learn more on how to cultivate a spirit of prayer.
There is a spirit of prayer that rests on you when you invite by desire that spirit of prayer. In you begin that fellowship of prayer. It won't be long before you discover the spirit of prayer.
The importance of prayer. Prevailing prayer.
Our prayer makes it consistent for God to do whatever He would want to do, which it was inconsistent for Him to do had we not prayed.
The Holy Spirit and prayer.
If you pray in tongues, the Spirit of God will bring the mysteries, the things you need. He will bring them to your spirit. Listen, why it's so important that you pray in tongues? Human prayer with human language cannot go far enough. If you pray in tongues long enough, nothing can stop your success. Nothing can stop your growth. Nothing.
The Lord's Prayer.
That thing they call our Lord's Prayer when they go, "Our Father, which art in heaven," that's the outline of prayer Jesus was teaching them. They said, "Teach us to pray." So you want to know what the Lord's Prayer really is? You go to what He prayed in St. John's Gospel. There He actually prayed. He really prayed. And disciples heard Him. And they wrote down the content of His prayer.
Prayer of intercession. And get the right perspective in prayer. These inspiring and uplifting messages are available on the Pastor Chris Digital Library app, downloadable on the Google Play Store and on the Apple App Store. Pastor Chris Digital Library, bringing you the Word easier and faster. God bless you.
Pastor Chris, worth hearing.
Now, the third one, which is just as important as any of these other ones. And really, if you notice, they're all related, these different kinds of prayer. And especially, you see, it depends on what you want. Do you want real results? Or you want results that look like results? Because there are results that look like results, but are not results at all. You know, some people are successful in a way that looks like success, but not success at all. But when we read what God said to Joshua, He talked about good success. You see, good success. So if you want good success, that means the real deal, real success. If you want it, then there's a way. There's a way. Glory to God. There's a way. Okay, now. I just told you. What you want is your children. Okay? For the kingdom of God. Not converts. Converts come and go. Children stay. That's a huge difference. That's how come we can have children of ministry all around the world. Wherever they go, they carry out the same thing everywhere. That's why. Because they are children. They're not converts. We didn't raise them to be converts. We raised them as children. But children are born. You see it? Children are born. They're not employed. They're born. That's the difference. Children. That's what you want. That's what you want. Real spiritual birth. And then you find more and more births. 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 Many years ago, I began to do a research on this. I said many years ago because this, when I got started, I was still very young. When I got started in ministry, I was still very young. And I was very curious to know the things that God really wanted. And that was the time I started making discoveries and also learning how to put the Word of God to work. You see, did you read about Jesus? How that after he received the Holy Spirit, he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. Okay? What was he doing there? The Bible says for 40 days and 40 nights, he was in the wilderness. What do you think he was doing there? You know what he was doing? Can I give you a suggestion? One of the writers gives it to us in very brief language. Mark chapter 1. Let's read from verse 12. St. Mark's Gospel chapter 1. Okay. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Talking about Jesus. Immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Verse 13. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts. And the angels ministered unto him. Three things happened while he was in the wilderness. One, he was tempted of Satan. Two, he was with the wild beasts. That's very informative. And three, angels ministered unto him. What was he doing with the wild beasts? Putting the word to work. Hallelujah. Putting the word to work. Sometimes you've got to be trained in some things. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience. Learned obedience. He was subjected to certain situations. You say, learn? Yes, because he was a man. Don't forget. He was the Son of God. But he was a man. He was made a man. The Bible says he was hungry like everybody else. He was tired like everybody else. He slept like anyone else. The Bible says he put aside his glory. He was supernatural in humanity. Jesus was human. And that's the only way he could legally take our place. The just for the unjust. That he might bring us to God. He was called the man, Christ Jesus. So he died for us as a man. He defeated Satan as a man. Do you understand? So that's very important. So he was putting the word to work. Sometimes there are people, ministers, who have never tested the word of God on their own. But they want to test it on others. How's it going to work like that? You're not training yourself. You've got to train. Practice God's word on your life. Practice your faith. Put it to work. That's what you do. Put it to work. Practice it. And be excited about it. You know, before you're going to command blind eyes to open, what did you do when you had a headache? You get it? Practice. Now, that doesn't mean, I mean, you've heard some people say that when they get sick, they can't fix it. They say their faith doesn't work. But when they pray for others, miracles happen. Did you ever hear that? Yeah. A lot of people have that experience. But you see, what a lot of them have never done is to practice the word of God. Practice it. It's like when I teach about money, I tell people you can practice playing what I call the money game. It's a very simple thing. I say, start using little amounts. See how it works. Because it works. It's a principle. It's a principle. You can multiply your money. Very, very simple principle. It's a spiritual money game. God says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. Simple. So, I take the money. I give. It might be small, but I can watch this little amount of money multiply. You see it? Now, with that understanding, I can make someone who is poor grow financially until he's rich. You see it? It's a simple thing. Learn it. Listen, God's word is for us to do. It's for practice. You do it. You train. If you're going to be the world's number one sprinter, I mean, how many of you heard of Usain Bolt, the fastest runner in the world? Many of you have. But that guy didn't start running the fastest overnight. He had to train. Train himself. Train himself until he became very fast. Spiritual things are like that. You've got to train. You've got to train. Train yourself. Train yourself. Put your faith to work. Put your faith to work. Put your faith to work. I first started learning how to use the word. First with my own body. Once I had, I was just beginning to learn it. I was a teenager, and I had a cut, and it was bleeding. And my mind went straight to the woman with the issue of blood. How that when she touched the master, the Bible says the issue of blood ceased. Now, I understand very well about touching God with faith. So for me, that was a simple thing for me to do. So I said, in the name of Jesus, stop bleeding. So I put my finger there and said, stop bleeding. Then I thought, I can go beyond that and say, be healed and join together. And there it was. The bleeding stopped. I was excited. The bleeding stopped and it joined together. And then there was no mark. So I was excited. I was excited. The young guy. I was excited. I felt I discovered something. I'm going to be using it. Now, through the years, I did the same thing many times. Many times. So I'm quick to use the word. I'm quick. If I hit my leg against something, he's like, be healed. Or I say, heal. I even did something for a long time. Sometimes maybe, you know, some of us when we're eating, we're talking too. Okay? So sometimes I bit my tongue or I bit the size of my mouth. And then that pain will be there for another 1 week or more. And then you have difficulty, you know, what kind of food you're going to eat. And how many of you have experienced anything like that? Thank you. You know what I'm talking about. But then I learned something. I put it to practice. I put my finger there. Now say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Then I noticed every time I did it, it was healed instantly. Never failed once. Then I tried, okay, let me not say anything. Then I noticed The pain continued over a while, for several days. Then I said, okay, let me try. Maybe just put my hand there and just press it. And I did, but there was still no change. There was still a problem. So I said, okay, that means I actually was releasing my faith when I did. From then on, every time I did it, every time. And when I say every time, not failed once. Whether it's the tongue or the side of my mouth, and I put my finger in there and say, be healed. The moment I injure it or I beat it, I say, be healed. In Jesus' name, be healed. Sometimes while I'm still chewing, oh, be healed. Because I don't want to carry another 7 days or 12 days with the pain. You know, but it worked all the time. That wasn't a manifestation of a gift of the Spirit. It was putting the Word of God to work. Learning, it's a practice. Put the Word to work. Practice it. Do it. Sometimes you might find that something you're trying didn't work. That means there's something you don't know yet about it. So learn it again. Try again. Because the Word will not fail. Hallelujah.
If you have been blessed by this message, we would love to hear your testimony. Kindly send an email to testimony@pastorchrisdigitallibrary.org. Other related messages are
The Power of Intercession, Spiritual Warfare, Keys of the Kingdom, The Three Cardinal Gifts of God, The Gift of Eternal Life. Download your copies today. Pastor Chris Digital Library, bringing you the Word easier and faster.